Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Whitson and Joe Castellano.
Well, Ray, what a thrilling victory against the Los Angeles Lakers on Monday, MLK Day. A game where I think if you were watching the first quarter, there's no way you would have thought the Warriors would pull it off when they were down 19 in the first quarter, but they win it 115-113. They outscore the Lakers by 13 points in the fourth quarter, 34-21, and they pull off another comeback win. I mean, it's no fluke that they came back from down 22 against the Clippers, because now they do it against the defending champions in their building, even though there are no fans there, but still in their building. This was pretty impressive the way the Warriors pulled this off for their whole team.
Well, I said before, with the Clipper win, I thought that was their most significant win since they were in the 2019 finals. But this goes over that, because you beat the defending champions. And maybe the Lakers were taking the Warriors a little lightly, especially after the way they started. So they were like a snake in the grass after that, and then came back and bit them. And, you know, when you have Steph Curry, I've said it a million times, when you have Steph, you always have a puncher's chance, because he can go off. And he was having an off game, but he found just enough at the end. He had 8 points late, and Draymond Green looked like the Draymond Green of old, as Steve Kerr said post-game. And by the way, that's kind of a left-handed compliment or backhanded compliment. It's like, oh, I'm not that now, except for tonight. No, but fact of the matter is, he's not played well in the last few games. We talked about on the last podcast how important he is to the team, and when he's right, they're much better at both ends of the floor. Well, we saw that, Draymond, and the Warriors were better at both ends of the floor, especially in the fourth quarter. And what a job they did on LeBron James and Anthony Davis, holding both of them to under 20 points. That just doesn't happen too much. So, you know, great job defensively, and, you know, they got just enough offensively down the stretch. And Steph Curry kind of recalling the ghosts of the NBA Finals when he went up against LeBron, and, by the way, beat him most of the time. So it was fun for a whole bunch of different reasons. Like I said, maybe the Lakers took them a little lightly, but that won't happen again, I don't think.
Yeah, it's interesting because you do have the two star players, and there was a good graphic that they showed, as you know, they've been a part of so many of these championships in recent years. But neither guy had a great game statistically. I mean, LeBron goes 6 of 16, ends up with 19 points. And as you mentioned, Curry didn't have one of his best games. But I thought Reggie Miller did a great job of pointing out late in the game, it doesn't matter. When it's late in the game, it doesn't even matter if Curry's been missing threes. If he can get himself open, or if they can have a pick and roll with Draymond Green and he gets that shot, you want him taking it. And, of course, he made the one that turned out to be the game winner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's vintage Steph right there, taking on a bigger guy and making space for himself. But I want to mention, on a couple of those handoffs, Draymond took the ball straight to the hoop.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been doing that. I'm not the only one to observe this, but there are several times in the last few games where you think, oh, he should have taken that shot. He needs to take it to the bucket. Well, apparently they looked at the film or the tape, and they saw the same thing. And so he took advantage of an opening a couple of times. And you've got to, he doesn't have to do it all the time, but you've got to have that threat to keep the defense honest and create a little more space for Steph. And, you know, with Steph, I've seen it so many times over the last decade. There will be games where he's 1 for 10 from 3-point range, but you can never count him out. He can go thermonuclear at any time. And when he gets going, it's something to behold. Well, he did just enough last night. He was only 3 for 12 from 3-point range, but the big one late, and he also had a couple of driving buckets. And, you know, it was almost vintage Steph. It was almost vintage Draymond. And those two are, when they're right, are the best two players on that team. That hasn't always been the case this year. There have been times that Eric Paschal's been the second best player on the team, and might have been last night. But you want those two to lead the way, and they're still capable of doing it. You know, they got nice contributions from Oubre. I thought he played his best game.
Oh, for sure.
It seems like they're pushing him more with the second unit. You know, he starts out with the first unit, but he plays more minutes now with the second unit. That seems to be helping him. You know, he gave you everything that you can want defensively last night. He was really a pest. And, you know, take advantage of that length and disrupt things. And so you look at 3-point shooting, and it was only 2 for 8. He's still slumping there, but he's starting to see the openings, especially with the second unit where he can slash to the bucket as well. And so it's, you know, we're 13 games in, and he's still learning this team. He hasn't quite figured out yet how to play with Steph and take advantage of the court geography and the spacing. But he seems to have done a better job with the second unit. And, of course, you've got another guy who can score there with the second unit in Pascal. And, you know, 19 points in 19 minutes last night. He's been terrific lately. Reggie Miller at one point said last night that Pascal can score with the best of them. And I'm like, whoa, Reggie, pump the brakes. If he could score with the best of them, he'd be Harden or Durant. He's not that guy.
No.
But he's been pretty good, especially when he's able to take on a bigger man playing the small five. So, that's another part of it with this team that's a little different. And Draymond touched upon it post-game, Joe, that, they almost expect the second unit to not only hold their own, hold serve, but actually be a plus factor in the game. I mean, they've had good bench players in the past, as we know, with guys like Iguodala and Livingston. But I have to admit, there were times where their first unit was so strong, it was such a drop-off to the second unit that, you know, all you do is hold your breath for 6 minutes, right? Until the starters get back in and restore order if they lost some of the lead. And sometimes they did, and sometimes they didn't. But this group is turning out to be interesting. I'll say that much. You know, when you get Bazemore and Wanamaker and Pascal in there playing together, maybe a little bit of Damian Lee and Oubre, it's not the lineup of death that they used to have, but it looks like it has a chance to be effective and good at both ends of the floor.
Well, it's weird too, Ray, because in several games this year, it just seems like the bench has been better than the starters. I mean, especially if you look at the plus minus, those guys are not only holding their own, they're cutting into a lead if the team is behind. And, you know, I wonder if part of that is because, okay, those guys are out there when LeBron is on the bench or Anthony Davis is on the bench. So, you know, yeah, we can't just turn around the lineup here and say, okay, all the guys on the bench are going to start, all the starters are going to the bench. Can't really do that, but you do have to be impressed and have to trust in the fact that these guys are coming in and they're working hard and causing turnovers. You know, I mentioned it last week that I think Damian Lee is sort of the leader of that group because of the fact, not so much that he's scoring that much and he can shoot the three, but he's all over the floor. I mean, he's playing defense, mm-hmm. he's knocking the ball loose. And that's the thing that Pascal was showing. Pascal was not only scoring, but he was knocking the ball away. He's coming up with rebounds. I mean, he's just doing a little bit of everything. And that's what you need from these bench guys.
Well, you need them to be better than the other team's bench because that's usually how they match up, right?
Yeah.
So if they're just able to do that and at least hold serve, then they're doing a good job. And, yeah, by the looks of the numbers, especially lately, they may have found something here. And that's all part of it, right? That's all part of the work in progress. I mean, Steve Kerr's gotten a lot of criticism for what he's doing with the lineups early in the season, but this is the fact-finding period, right? And you're not playing yourself out of a playoff spot right now. Definitely gave themselves quite a bit of help last night. So in the meantime, when you throw a bunch of new players together, you don't know which combos work. I mean, you know who are the most talented players, but are they going to gel? And that's not always been the case. So it sounds like they're bringing in Wiggins more with the first group. That's helping him. And you know, I like Wiggins on the floor with Curry, for example, because he's another scoring threat who can also provide some space. And maybe Oubre is better suited playing more minutes with a second unit. Sure seems so far. But these are the things you've got to find out right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned that it was Oubre's best game as a Warrior, no doubt about that. I mean, even though he didn't shoot that great from three, but he's scoring in other ways. Like you said, slashing to the basket. He's playing really good defense. He played a lot of minutes, and I think that was part of the plan for Steve Kerr is, hey, I'm going to change this up. I'm going to play Oubre more with the second unit. He had more minutes than anybody in the entire game. And, you got to utilize his athletic skills. That's the thing. It's not just about him sitting in the corner and spotting up for a three. He can make those. I think Reggie Miller pointed out when he's catching it and shooting it, he's better off than when he's trying to create from three. But I think overall, just you got to utilize his overall skills. And you saw it in that game. If the Warriors could sort of capsulize that and utilize Oubre in that way, the way they did against the Lakers, mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to have a lot of success going forward with him.
Yeah, and of course, it always depends on who you're matching up against. I just think against this Laker team, and the Lakers have pretty good depth. I mean, when you've got Kuzma and Harrell coming off the bench with Caruso and Morris, they're not bad. You know, they got a couple of ex-Warriors on there, right? And McKinney and Cook.
Yeah.
Didn't play last night, but I think the Warriors still can match them for depth, especially with a guy like Pascal playing the way he is. But what you have to count on as much as anything with the second group, because you know they're not going to play as many minutes, if they're out there for 15 or 20 minutes a night, you got to knock yourself out. You got to bring the energy. If nothing else, you've got to bring the energy and try to create things. And, you know, that's I like the makeup of this group because they have that kind of attitude. You're talking about Lee and also Bazemore with his length and Wanamaker is a pretty good defender. Like I said, yeah, they got a chance to be a pretty good group. And, you know, in the meantime, this win last night, it sounds weird to say it for a team that has been so successful as the Warriors have in the last 6 years. You know, last year notwithstanding, but this is a different group. And that was a real confidence builder last night, along with the Clipper win. They know they can come back from 15, 20, 22 points. That they may not have great firepower, and they may still need another shooter, but there's enough there to get the job done against elite teams. And they've beaten several teams that are ahead of them in the standings in the Western Conference. And you know what last night kind of reminded me of was if you go way, way back, to 2012, and the Warriors are just starting to become a playoff contender once again. And they've got Curry, and they've got Klay, and they've got Draymond. And they beat LeBron and the Miami Heat in Miami on a very significant road trip for them as far as the confidence building. They ended up being a playoff team that year, and I think they won it on a Draymond Green layup late.
I kind of remember that, yeah.
Well, I certainly remember doing the postgame show for that because I said this is a team that, you know, sent a message to the rest of the league tonight. That, you know, they're going to be something of a factor. It may not be a title contender, but going to be a factor. Kind of felt that same way last night. This is a group on national TV that kind of announced their presence that, you know, we're still figuring things out. I mean, they're still figuring out Wiseman, who's obviously got a long way to go in his learning process. They're still figuring out their lineups. But, you know, they're going through the ups and downs, and they're getting through them. And even though they felt they looked awful in the first quarter, they're down by 19. The bench got them back into the game. They fell behind again. They got back into the game, and then they passed them at the very end. They weren't leading in this game until the very end of it. So to have the combination of energy and attitude and, of course, the experience with guys like Curry and Green, you know, it just makes them a little more interesting to watch this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, what you mentioned about the energy I think really is key, and especially for Draymond. I mean, he really has to bring it every night for the Warriors because he's so important to the other players on the team. And I felt like he didn't bring it in Denver. I don't know if it was the elevation. Yeah. I didn't know if he was maybe hurt, if something was wrong with him. Because on defense, just watching him, I kind of isolated on him a little bit, Ray, and looked like he was, you know, not into it. He just wasn't moving, turned the ball over quite a bit in that game. And it just never felt like the Warriors were in that game against Denver. And that was the, you know, game after they had blown the lead against Indiana. So you had two games in a row that weren't so great as far as feel good. But now you come back with this one. So you get the feeling this team is going to be like that this year. They're going to be up and down. They're not always going to be consistent. But a game like this against the Lakers, you would think it could catapult them as far as their confidence to play a lot better.
Well, Draymond's not a youngster anymore. You know, I wish I could trade places with him, but he's going to be 31 in about a month. All right, so maybe he's not bringing the energy like he did when they started out in their 73-win season or when he won Defensive Player of the Year. Maybe that reserve, that reservoir is not there every single night. But it's almost like he hears people starting to talk about whether he's slowing down or whether he can handle defensive assignments anymore, and all of a sudden the ears perk up, and you see the old Draymond like he did in the second half of last night's game, where he's not only making all the right calls offensively, but he's taking the defensive load going up against both Anthony Davis and a little bit against LeBron James and doing a tremendous job. And, you know, 7 points, but 8 rebounds, 9 assists. And oh, by the way, playing with 5 fouls toward the end.
Yeah, that's right.
Still able to do all that. So, you know, I don't expect the vintage Draymond, or as Steve Kerr says, the old Draymond, every single night, every single quarter, every single half of every single game. But I think he's going to be able to provide enough to where maybe they haven't played themselves out of a playoff spot. Right now they're occupying, they're tied for the eighth spot. That maybe they sneak in there if they keep going, you know, pending a deal down the road. But, you know, this is a team, can't say it enough. They're still working things out in 13 games. And what you can say is the good parts are encouraging enough that, yeah, you want to see this going and see how it develops.
And having Draymond Green, it is like having another coach. I mean, he did wonders, I think, working with Eric Paschal last year. And you could see that's really paying off, paying dividends this season. And then, you know, I thought it was, obviously that was great sound when they had the inside tracks and they had Draymond Green mic'd and he was talking to James Wiseman and telling Wiseman, hey, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that, and, you know, look for the ball here. And that kind of instruction during the game for a 19-year-old who, you know, hasn't played a whole lot, really helps. And it wasn't a great matchup, I don't think, for Wiseman. I mean, you know, you're going up against a guy like Anthony Davis, so he's probably not going to play that many minutes anyway, but he did get into big-time foul trouble, and, you know, that was pretty much it. He didn't get to play in the crunch time there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and he's going to have nights like that. You know, I hate to break it to Warriors fans who are hoping he'll be a star right away. He's not going to be a star right away. He's going to show you why they think he's going to be a star down the road with good moments here and there, good stretches. You know, there was a couple of really good games he had early on in the season. But, yeah, this wasn't a good matchup. He got into foul trouble earlier, and he was frustrated. You know, I think he knocked a Gatorade cooler or something like that when he benched after five fouls. Didn't see the light of day. Again, only played 13 minutes. I mean, he's not going to help him much if he can only play 13 minutes a night. But it's still a learning experience, and you have Draymond on the floor being the coach on the floor. And, you know, that audio showed a great moment last night where Draymond got a rebound, and he's trying to push ahead Wiseman in the front court, who's near the top of the key, but he's got his back turned to Draymond.
Not even looking.
Yeah, he turned it just in time to receive the ball, but then LeBron is able to strip it from him as he turns around because he doesn't really see where he is. And, you know, I think Marc Gasol was there as well. And so Draymond's saying, hey, you know, I'm throwing you that ball for a reason. I think you can handle it. I think you can take on Gasol and beat him. I like that matchup for you. And Gasol standing right there. and Draymond was saying, I don't mean that as a knock on Gasol. I just have a belief in Wiseman. And I'm thinking, well, it was a little bit of a knock on Gasol. You know, he's getting up there in years. He's not as quick as Wiseman, and he can't leap like Wiseman can. So, but Wiseman's still got a lot to learn. So, I mean, when I saw that play going live, I thought to myself at first, oh, Draymond, you know, you can't throw that pass. You're putting Wiseman in a tough spot there where he can't receive the ball and hold on to it, the guy right behind him. But then I thought, you know what? Draymond's going to say something to Wiseman about, you know, there's going to be a bigger teaching moment here that might almost be worth the turnover so that he doesn't do it again.
Right.
And this is not to compare Draymond to Magic Johnson necessarily, although they both played at Michigan State and both won titles in the NBA and are both pretty good passers. I mean, Magic's an all-time passer. But everybody who played on the Lakers, people who came to the Lakers when Magic was playing, they learned fast. You better not turn your head. You better be ready to receive the ball. And so Wiseman has to think about in those terms. He's not just trotting up the court to go to the low post. He's involved. They want to take advantage of his skills. And so especially when Draymond rebounds the ball, you better be expected to receive a 40, 50-foot pass. Or a baseball pass, and you better have your head turned at least sideways so you can see it and not be surprised. So these are the teachable moments on the court that there's no other way to replace that. I mean, it's like when I started out in radio. You know, I probably sucked at it at first, but there's no substitute. Maybe I, at the end of my career, probably people saying you still suck at it. But,
no.
You know, when I started, I probably wasn't very good, but there's no substitute. There's no classroom that can replace just opening the mic and doing it and thinking on your feet. And it's the same thing for a guy like Wiseman in the NBA. There's no substitute for just going out there and confronting different situations, and the next time you're not surprised by it. And, you know, He's 13 games into his NBA career after three college games. So it's a long way to go for him, but everybody sees the skill set that is there. I think the one area where he needs to improve is catching the ball. I don't know if you can teach good hands. It didn't work out so much with poor old Festus Ezeli, although he brought some other things to the table. But I would hope that he improves in that department. And if he can, he's going to be a pretty scary player down the road. There's just going to be certain nights, though, where he's not going to be a factor. And last night was one of them, and they still won the ball game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that he needs to catch the ball better. And that's something that a lot of big men have problems with, I think, when they first start out. And you have to keep reminding yourself that he doesn't have a lot of experience. And like you said, he's going to learn something new each time. I think one of the main areas where you don't see this in high school ball or college ball is when you're driving to the basket. And it is very exciting to see Wiseman, you know, dribbling the ball, going towards the basket. And he's just this gigantic, you know, 7-footer heading to the basket. And anybody in high school and college, they're clearing out of the way. But that's not the case in the NBA. These guys are going to, you know, stand in there and take a charge. And we've seen that a few times already with Wiseman, where he's going to, you know, pick up a foul in that situation. And we saw it in the game. That was pretty much it for Wiseman. He came out after that fifth foul, and then he was done. And I think he was really upset with himself because I think he's used to, hey, nobody's going to be in front of me. I'm just going to drive right to the basket.
Well, yeah, that's quite a shock. That's one of the several shocks that college players get when they come to the NBA, or guys who are dominant in high school. There are a lot more tricks of the trade that these guys know. And, you know, also if you have a high dribble, and certainly for taller players, that's something you have to work to improve. If you got a high dribble, then they not only can take the charge, they can just strip the ball from you. So, you know, again, learning the hard way sometimes. But the thing that Steve Kerr likes is that he does get frustrated. He cares. Maybe he beats himself up a little bit, which is kind of ridiculous for a 19-year-old in the NBA. You're going to take some hard knocks. That's just to be expected. But he cares. And it sounds like he's pretty coachable.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think he's, you know, it's going to be fun to see him develop every week. It's going to be something different that we're kind of looking at. Well, elsewhere in the NBA, I mean, there was a great MLK day, and I don't know if you had a chance to catch any of the Brooklyn win over Milwaukee, but that was one of the highlighted games of the day in the NBA, and KD and Harden combining for 64 points. Now we get how do they play with Kyrie now, because he's expected to play on Wednesday in Cleveland. So that storyline is going to continue to develop. Do they have enough basketballs for those guys?
That's always the problem, right? I mean, this is since time immemorial when Wilt, Jerry West, and Elgin Baylor played together. They made the same jokes that there aren't enough basketballs. And, you know, they got to the NBA Finals. They didn't quite get over the hump against the Celtics. And Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain didn't win a championship with that team until 72, about 4 years after Wilt arrived. I don't know if that's going to be as heavy a lift with these guys. I mean, Durant and Harden together are terrifying. You know, I think by the end of the season, maybe Harden will be down to his playing weight. But in the meantime, I mean, the guy logged 41 minutes last night, and he scored 34, and Durant scored 30. And you'd expect these guys to put up 30 almost every night. That's how skilled they are. I think the question is going to be, can you stop them from scoring 40 or 45 or 50? That's how good they are. But, yeah, that's going to be the question. How does Kyrie fit into this? Because Kyrie is pretty ball dominant himself. Is he going to be able to facilitate with these guys? And you know, Harden can facilitate too. He got 12 assists last night. He can pass. When he's right, he's pretty good threat that way. And as opposed to the Rockets, you know, he's got one of the all-time great scoring threats alongside him. So I think he's smart enough to know there will be times when he gets in a trap that Durant will be there. I don't know how this mix is going to work. But, man, it's going to be fascinating to look at. It's going to be like a mad scientist lab experiment with the, you know, three of the most skilled offensive players in the game together. I think Durant can work within a team concept. He's shown that. I mean, he played with Steph and he played with Clay, and that worked out pretty well. So I think Harden can too. I just don't know about Kyrie. I mean, when you figure out why he had to be away from the team, I mean, he's just a different sort of cat. And to have to be away from the team because you weren't wearing a mask at a party, I mean, this is the kind of stuff they've been talking to players about for a long time, situations to avoid. I mean, it's not like he committed a major crime, but it's still, I mean, in this day and age, it's a horrible look. And,
yeah.
You know, hopefully everybody's okay. Nobody gets sick because of that. So, I mean, but hey, we're talking about a guy who thought the earth was flat. So I don't know if he's the best guy to believe in science, but hopefully this is a teachable moment for him. I don't know why you'd have to be taught that at this point in the game, but that's where we're at with some of these guys. They kind of get caught up in the moment. They don't think of that. So starting in a couple of days, we'll see how this all works out on the basketball court. I mean, there's a chance it won't work. Let's be honest about it. And, you know, the offensive firepower is great. They've got pretty good bench as well. And a lot of people are favoring them to come out of the East in the NBA Finals. But I don't know. I don't know at this point what it's going to look like at the end of the season. I mean, there's potential for it to be incredible. But like you said, there's only one ball to go around. And they've got to figure out their way through it.
Well, Steve Nash has got to be a psychiatrist or something, I mean, to make this work. And I was watching Paul Pierce on ESPN, and he made a good point about how you have to respect the coach first. Like, if those guys actually respect Nash, which they should, he was a really good, well-respected player, you would think they would, but he doesn't have the coaching experience. So that part of it may, you know, factor in where he hasn't dealt with this kind of stuff. He, you know, he's been a player, but he hasn't been in charge of something like this where you have to be on top of it. And you really do have to sort of be a psychologist. It's like that in any sport. You think about a manager in baseball or even think about a catcher in baseball. He sort of has to be a psychologist for his pitchers. So it's a different skill that we don't know for sure that Steve Nash has that.
No, we don't. I mean, he's been an MVP, so they should respect that.
Yeah.
He's a different type of player, though. I mean, can you imagine Steve Nash in his prime with Durant and Harden?
Oh, man.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be pretty good.
he'd be having a field day. And Kyrie is not that kind of player. Yeah, I think he's a little bit more scoring oriented. In fact, we know he is. But, you know, is he going to be smart enough basketball-wise to know when it's time to give the ball up? And are these other guys going to be smart enough as well? I mean, Nash has been given an embarrassment of riches as far as offensive firepower. I would think if anybody knows how to make an offense run smoothly, it's going to be him because he's done it on the court, and that gets some respect too. But the proof's in the pudding, right? And you know, they got some other guys there. You hope they don't lose interest because the ball is going to be in the hands of three guys most of the time.
All right, coming up for the Warriors, they've got Wednesday against the Spurs at home, then the Knicks at home. Knicks are a little bit better. And the Spurs are a real veteran team, and it's always interesting to see Popovich against Kerr, you know, good friends and everything like that. These veteran guys that San Antonio has, they're still playing pretty well. I mean, Rudy Gay at 21 the other day, Aldridge 22, Mills 21. So, you know, you're definitely going up against a guy, you know, a bunch of guys that know what they're doing.
Well, you know that the Spurs are always going to be tough because they're always going to be well coached. I mean, you're talking about one of the all-time great coaches. LaMarcus Aldridge is still a handful, and Draymond always defended him very well. So I wonder if he'll be the top assignment for him. And, you know, DeRozan is still a very potent scorer, and they tuned up the Trailblazers last night. They beat them by 21. So they're one of the teams that's ahead of the Warriors in the standings. And like I said earlier, the Warriors have beaten a few teams ahead of the standings in the West. So they're certainly capable of doing that. And, you know, the Knicks are, as always, they're a work in progress. That's a team you figure at this point that the Warriors can beat. And I they're certainly capable of beating the Spurs. All these teams that are on their schedule, you have to say now they're capable of beating. They just took down the Lakers on the road, and they've beaten the Clippers, split with them. So it's just a matter of whether they're continuing their upward trajectory or if they're going to have a step back. You like what the Spurs have coming off the bench. I think that's where the challenge is going to be when you have Gay and Mills providing that offensive firepower off the bench. that's going to be a challenge. And like we said earlier, you want your bench to be at least as good as the other team's bench. So that's going to be a real challenge for them. But I look at the next stretch of games, four or five, and I'm thinking, well, they could certainly win three of those five.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at a 10-8 team. So that's not too bad. And that's good enough to be at least in the second tier of playoff teams in the West. So you keep up that pace, not play yourself out of it. I mean, everything is, it's so early, and we're talking a shorter season, but it's still early. And there's so many teams that are bunched so close together. So you're not playing yourself out of anything unless you lose five or six in a row. You don't want to do that. But I don't see this team doing that. I like we said last week, work in progress, and that means a step forward, a step back. Big step forward last night.
Yeah, I mean, if every 10 days or so we get a win like the Clippers won or the Lakers won, I think we'll take that. I don't know that we're going to get two more games like that. Both of those games, so exciting. I mean, it's just, it really puts you on the edge of your seat. And it's funny because you're sitting there early on and you're saying, this game's boring. I mean, the Lakers look like they could do whatever they wanted to. And then, you know, the Warriors somehow come back.
Well, I think they lulled the Lakers into complacency. They said, oh, man, these guys are having a rough time, but we're going to toy with them tonight like the cat and the ball of yarn. And then the claw got snagged in the yarn, and the yarn just enveloped the cat. And I don't know where I'm going with this analogy, but it worked out not like the Lakers expected it to, that's for sure. I think that now they're not going to take this team so lightly, I don't think anybody else is either. Everybody in the league saw that last night.
Absolutely. All right, Ray, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Joe, and just real quick, we heard Adam Silver, the commissioner, is looking at trying to get vaccines to the players, and I know there's some who would say, what, are they jumping ahead of the line again? But I think the way he wants to handle it is as a public service announcement, because there are a lot of fans of the league who may not be inclined to get it, and so the players are going to show them, hopefully, that it's cool to get it, and it works, and it helps. And you know, we just had a short time ago in Washington, D.C., a memorial to 400,000 people who have died of COVID since this started. And remember last March in the podcast where we talked about it, the news was just coming down that sports leagues were closing.
Yeah.
And we knew the NBA was going there, and we knew it was going to be bad. And even as bad as we knew it was going to be, it's been worse. And so in the memory of the people who've died and their loved ones, in respect of all those frontline workers and nurses and the doctors who risk their lives and have been through hell for the last 10 months, trust the science, respect the medical workers, wear a damn mask and get the vaccine.
Absolutely. And I mean, Steph Curry and LeBron James are two guys that, speaking of, you know, their talent on the floor, they also are great as far as getting out the word as far as social issues. I would think the commissioner can lean on them as well. Thanks a lot. Well said there, Ray. And again, I'll talk to you next week. Looking forward to it.
Sounds good, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.